The Pentagon launches 12 airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq in the last 24 hours. As Operation Inherent Resolve continues and gets more expensive, it highlights a need to develop more cost-efficient military strategies. My first guest on Pentagon Solutions today, Captain Jerry Hendricks, U.S. Navy retired, former Director of Naval History. Jerry is now Senior Fellow and Director of the new Defense Strategies and Assessments Program at the Center for a New American Security. That program will analyze and create new military strategies that emphasize cost-effectiveness and innovation. Jerry, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on your move to CNAS and congratulations on the new program. What's the space in the thought community in Washington, the defense thought community, that you saw for this program and how you'd like to fill that? Thanks for being on the program today, Jerry.
Well, actually, I think there's a real hunger right now for innovation and alternatives to sort of the tried and true. Not that the tried and true have been tremendous failures, but the fact is that we've been sort of in a do loop cycle on how we're going to respond to things. We had a stutter step when we went to asymmetric warfare starting in 2003 to 2005, and we picked up that there was new innovative ways to do that. But as we have scaled down coming back out of Iraq and Afghanistan, we seem to be reverting back to sort of the older and more traditional solutions. We want to get back to sort of a normalcy that we had established in the Cold War, which is really, I think, our comfort zone from within the culture of the Department of Defense. And the fact of the matter is that the future security environment looks a lot more like the environments that we saw in Iraq and Afghanistan, where the threat is constantly changing and is innovating and trying to find ways of finding very efficient means of countering sort of our large budget solutions. And so I think that we need to steal a step, get off from the do loop that we've been on, and get inside the decision-making matrix of the opponent and outthink them and then begin imposing cost upon them.
How much of that mindset change will be strategic and how much of it will be cultural? And is there maybe a connection between those two?
Well, strategy, culture is derived from history. And strategy is derived from history. And what I think we have to do is have a reawakening to the historical mindset that the Americans have always had. We have always been a nation of innovators, especially when we weren't in the lead. We were the asymmetric power throughout the 19th century. And even up and through the 1930s going into World War II, we were the innovating power who were finding ways of taking technologies that existed everywhere else but using them differently. And I think that once the United States emerged after World War II as a superpower and one of the two superpowers, and then even more so after the fall of the Soviet Union, we became committed to a particular mindset. And we need to distance ourselves from that. And we need to step back and reimagine, look at that future security environment, recognize that it's different fundamentally from anything that we've operated in before, and begin adapting ourselves to that environment. The Navy, which is my parent's service that I retired from, has a 30-year shipbuilding plan. And so legitimately they can say that, look, we know what the force is going to look like, 85% of it at least, in 10 years' time. Well, that's not going to allow us to innovate quickly enough to keep up with the future security environment that we see emerging.
Is there a taste for thinking that way, though? Because it requires... it strikes me that it requires, Jerry, a little bit of humility to say that we maybe not should not do things the way that we've done them historically, including the way that I, as a longtime defense thinker, either civilian or uniformed, have been accustomed to thinking how things should be done.
Absolutely. The United States has been a leader in the global international system that has brought around a period of stability unlike anything that we've seen in a millennium. And so I think that there's a certain amount of pride that goes with that, and I think there's also a certain amount of hubris that goes with that. And I think now is as good a time as any to step back and say, the world is still changing. In fact, the world is a lot bigger than what we are. And we need to be ready to adapt to that and be more responsive, again, more innovative. And certainly, if we look at our commercial sector innovates at a pace unlike, any other place on the planet and at any other time in our history. And to the extent that we can plug into that commercial sector and leverage it, then I think that we ready ourselves to be a leader into the 21st century the way that we were in the 20th.
Jerry Hendricks is a senior fellow and director of the new Defense Strategies and Assessments Program at the Center for a New American Security. Jerry, the announcement about the formation of the new program says that this your program will propose pragmatic recommendations within realistic fiscal and political constraints to preserve the nation's role as a military leader in the world. And I underline with red pen the phrase within realistic fiscal and political constraints. I wonder how predictable that is for you and your colleagues right now to really understand where you have to go within those constraints in the next even 2 to 5 years, let alone farther out than that.
Well, again, you know, drawing upon my other training as a historian, you know, this isn't the first time we've been to this rodeo. The United States has gone through periods of fiscal constraint. For that matter, other great powers have gone through periods of fiscal constraint in the environment. And yes, it's not something that's easily predictable. However, if we look at, for instance, an era of rapid innovation in the 1880s, 1890s, if we look at the 1920s and 1930s as we were going through the Great Depression, and yet still innovating and bringing about things like aircraft carriers and tanks to be ready for World War II once we got into the 1940s, if we look at the defense drawdown that happened after World War II and into the 1950s, when we saw rapid advances in missile technology, nuclear weapons, nuclear submarines. You know, this is an environment that harkens to that classic phrase of the physicist Ernest Rutherford, gentlemen, we've run out of money, now we have to start thinking. Well, the fiscal pressures that we see looking at budgetary drawdowns ought to be a triggering event for us to step back and have a question as to whether the investments we've been making are the correct ones or whether there are other ones that are more efficient in our means and use of resources.
I went back and read a piece that you wrote titled Buy Fords, Not Ferraris, and I found it striking, Jerry, because it fits with a narrative that I hear from time to time from uniformed leaders, which is we understand the time has come for us to be satisfied with the 85% solution. And that's the sense that I got as the son of a former Ford dealer employee, that the point you were trying to make there, and it sounds like the point you're going to try to make through the Defense Strategies and Assessments Program, is there are solutions out there that are quite fine and that will do the jobs that we need them to do. And even if we could afford the most complex, neat, cool weapon available, it might not be necessary for the mission and might not be prudent fiscally. Am I deriving the right sentiment that you intend to apply?
Yes, that is correct. You know, I'm the son of a dairy farmer from Indiana. And so, you know, there is always something that we could put in the back of that Ford pickup to get us where we needed to go and get the job done. And today, you know, I think that there's a danger of letting the exquisite become the enemy of good enough. Now, I'm not talking about doing away with all exquisite investments. There are certain silver bullets that you should invest in and that you will need to use under certain circumstances. However, you may only need those 10% of the time or 15% of the time. 85% of the time, you know, a good Ford pickup is going to be enough to get it done. And in fact, that's what we ought to be sending. You know, there's a lot of research that I've done over the last few years that look at the efficacy of stealth and the way that we've used stealth. You know, we deployed an F-22 to take out ISIS positions in Syria and Iraq. And was it really necessary to send an aircraft that cost $168 million to do that particular mission? Or could it have been done in a more efficient manner with a lower cost aircraft? So I think that we have to be open to those discussions. Now, I can tell you there's going to be periods of time where we would need the advanced capabilities of the F-22, the most advanced fighter in the world. But we need a good balance in the force structure that realizes that, you know, when that type of exquisite technology is needed and when it is not.
What's your sense of how that decision-making process is done now? Well, not as well as it could be someplace else on the scale.
Well, you know, the key focus right now is on the budget. The sequester has handcuffed leadership in its decision-making And while it is imposing cuts, it's imposing unintelligent cuts because we're having the salami slice indiscriminately rather than make the correct cuts. Now, there's another school of thought now that says as we look at these emerging threats in the Ukraine or with Ebola in Africa or, for that matter, ISIS, that perhaps now is not the time to be cutting defense, but in fact, we should plus it up. I think that's a good, healthy debate. I think the pressure is going to remain downward as long as we're looking at large deficits and an even larger national debt. And so I think that we need to be ready to have a balance again within the budget that spends a portion on the high end, but also that it spends more in a more balanced way on low-end solutions.